This episode is sponsored by InMobi. When I say mobile ads, what comes to mind? If you're only thinking of boring banners, you're wrong. On mobile, you can swipe, pinch, zoom, and more. In-app, rich media ads allow you to create ads your customers interact with. InMobi gives you the support you need to create immersive experiences on mobile, not possible anywhere else. Learn how InMobi gives you more at InMobi.com.
The majority of those sales still occur offline and in physical stores. And so really, when it comes to their investments in the physical space, it's really all about just investing in omnichannel so you can meet the shoppers where they are when it comes to these types of CPG products.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Great Big Advertising Media and Retail Quiz of the Month. May 2023 edition, a special episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily and eMarketer podcast made possible by InMobi. This is our new monthly show that discusses the biggest trends of the moment and newest research and bundles it up into a quiz with some analysis sprinkled in. I'm your host, Marcus Johnson. How does this episode work? Well, it's basically a big game show, so feel free to play along. Every month, three of our analyst teams, we've got media and advertising, we've got retail, and then we've got the final one is social marketing and tech. They'll compete against each other. We'll keep a running score all year and crown a winning team at the end of the year who will win a gift card each, and of course, claim the greatest prize of all, the Victoria Cup, a trophy designed in pottery class by our very own Victoria, who edits the show. So the quiz has three rounds called I Never News That, Spoilt for Multiple Choice, and Closest Wins. The person with the most points at the end of the game wins the gold medal, three super duper points for their team's running total. Second place takes the silver, two super duper points. Third place gets you a disapproving glance, a bronze, and a hideously low one super duper point. So there's lots to play for. It's not really, but. All right, let's meet this month's contestants who are representing the different teams I mentioned earlier. From the digital advertising and media team, senior analyst based out of New York, it's Ross Benish.
Hey, Marcus. Now that I realize that this is a year-long thing, I feel pressure to not let Paul and Evelyn and Max down.
Well, especially because Paul got off to a horrible start. So you really have to carry the team. Let's see how he does. From the retail team, senior analyst based out of New York as well, it's Blake Drush, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Marcus. I would say I'm happy to be here, but I'm really not so sure if I am. I didn't listen to the first episode and I don't know what to expect.
Terrific. We made Blake come against his will. But thanks, Blake, for being here. Like most episodes, to be honest. From the social marketing and tech team, principal analyst who heads up our social marketing and tech team based out of Washington State, it's Deborah Aho Williamson.
Hey, everybody. And unlike Blake, I did listen to the last episode and I have prepped with some notes on some reports that we've written. So let's see if that helps me.
Very nice. Very nice.
It seems like folks, me and Blake are already going to get smoked.
Yeah, probably.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I prepared. Let's just see if I prepared the right things.
Exactly. So the folks don't know what's coming. So let's see if Debbie's guessed correctly. So if you're listening, you can also be your own team, keep track of how many points you score, and you can match your score against these three folks at the end to see if you beat them. Speaking of scores, let's check in on the overall team scores thus far. We started the quiz last month. Yuri took home 3 points for team social marketing and tech. So Debbie's team. Woo-hoo. Susie stole 2 points for the retail team. Blake is playing for that team today. And Paul scraped together a singular point for the digital advertising media team. Ross is going to try to make up some of Paul's awful shortcomings.
Well, I appreciate his precedent of setting low expectations. That's something I can admire.
Stuart, who runs the team, will be keeping score of the game today. Let's play, folks. First round, I never used that. This is a round where we discuss a few of the biggest stories of the moment with a question tied to each. After I read the question, contestants have 5 seconds to send answers to me via Slack. 1 point for a correct answer. There's 4 questions in this round. So, first story and first related question. So, is Google reinventing search? And its annual developers conference on May 10th, Google said it will be putting AI into virtually every major Google product, from Google Docs to Gmail, so folks can write emails and entire presentations with images from text prompts. but Sarah Morrison of Vox notes the biggest changes are coming to Google's bread and butter, search. As Jason Aiton of Inc. questions, what if the top of the search results page no longer is a series of blue links, but instead, as recently demonstrated, the first thing people see when they search is an interactive AI section that generates an answer based on all the information it finds. The question for you folks, though, related to Google is, in what year did Google's search ad revenue share peak in the US? In what year did Google's search ad revenue share peak in the US? Those answers coming in via Slack. What do you think? Which year did their share peak? Okay, answers are in. So Debbie says 2022, Blake says 2019, and Ross says 2015. Ross was closest, but this isn't closest wins. Yeah. So no points for anyone. It was, you could have had 2016 or 2017. It peaked at 67%. Today, Google's search ad revenue share is at 52%. So 15-point drop since 2016 and 2017. It's for Google. Amazon is still way behind with 22%. Microsoft and Apple with 5 apiece. Ross, you cover this space for us. What do you think of Google and this idea of them reinventing search? How can you see AI affecting its business, search business?
Well, they have to be reactive in embedding AI because everyone else is using it. Microsoft's got off to a pretty hard start with AI. So I just see them investing in it as part of what the rest of the market is. And they don't want to be left behind and they don't want to lose the share that they have.
Mm-hmm. Jason Aiton was noting, so Google's still going to show traditional links below that section. But the reality is that people don't scroll below the fold. So whatever's at the top is probably what people are going to use. And if that's spitting out one answer as opposed to a bunch of links, that could really change the game. Good guesses, folks. Debbie, I would have said a lot more recent as well. I was stunned that the share has been going down since then. But that obviously doesn't mean their dollars are going down. So they can lose share, but still be making a ton of money.
And that's why I went with 2022, because I thought, oh, well, that I misread the question or misheard the question, I think. I thought it was when was their dollar amount highest.
And
I thought,
okay.
Well, Google's having trouble. So it was probably last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking at their advertising dollars. So yeah, Google advertising, it did tick down by a fraction in Q1. The quarter before that, it was down by another 4%. So you're right. Yeah. If it was Google advertising year on year, they have seen declines the last two quarters consecutively, but we were looking for share. So Debbie just missed that one. But no one got any points, Debbie. So don't feel bad. We move to question two. Why isn't Amazon checking out of groceries? Adam Gallagher and Jin Ju Lee note that Amazon is still barely scratching the surface of the grocery market despite years of efforts. Its physical stores accounted for less than 4% of total revenue for Amazon. Physical stores, less than 4% of total revenue for Amazon, according to its earnings. Numerator thinks its share of the US grocery space is closer to 3%. Share of the US grocery space, closer to 3%. But in its Q1 results, which of Amazon's line items grew the fastest? In its Q1 results, which of Amazon's line items grew the fastest? Answers, please.
What is a line item? Like a business division?
The business units. Yeah, divisions, okay. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Ross and Blake say advertising. Debbie says AWS, which is, of course, their cloud business. It is close, but it was Amazon's advertising services, 21%. So Debbie, you said AWS, that grew by 16%. So that was the third most, actually. Yeah, third-party seller services was in second place. And then, yeah, AWS was in third, but first was advertising services. So point to Blake and point to Ross.
I've already totaled Paul, so I feel good about this.
He didn't get 1 point total. He just, after the end, he got just one because he was in last place. But his score was still pretty low. So you could have also matched his in-game score. Blake, you cover retail for us. What do you make of Amazon still kind of believing in its physical stores and in groceries and trying to compete with a giant like Walmart? What do you make of where it's at the moment?
Yeah, you know, when it comes to Amazon, I think they are reckoning with the fact that a lot of the growth in advertising is coming from CPG advertisers, and that's who they're really trying to court. And even though we've seen digital penetration from, you know, packaged food and beverage brands really rise over the last couple of years, the majority of those sales still occur offline and in physical stores. Mm-hmm. So really, when it comes to their investments in the physical space, it's really all about just investing in omnichannel so you can meet the shoppers where they are when it comes to these types of CPG products, and then continue to be able to court advertising dollars from CPG brands. So when you talk whether it's advertising or physical stores, I mean, it's really all part of just the Amazon flywheel in general.
Yeah. Yeah. And lucky for Amazon, they have a lot of different business units, line items, divisions that they can rely on. We expect ad revenues to grow for Amazon 17% for the full year to $34 billion and then accelerate next year to 21%, crossing the $40 billion mark. Let's move to our third question. Are we still in an ad downturn? In real terms, ad spending is doing just fine, suggests a recent Digiday article arguing that the ad market is simply correcting itself after the pandemic. The piece points to Google, the largest ad seller, posting constant currency ad revenue in Q1 of 3% year on year. Meta was up around 7%. Ad spending on Microsoft grew 6%. Amazon's ad business grew, as we mentioned, at over 20%. The question is, this year we expect total US digital ad spending growth to be at its lowest point since what major event of the last 15 years? This year, we expect total US digital ad spending growth to be at its lowest point since what major event of the last 15 years? So what do we think, folks? Debbie and Blake both say the recession, and they would be correct. Ross said the pandemic, a good guess as well, but it is the recession, just under 8%. The recession of 2008, the Great Recession, the financial crash had a negative 3% for digital ad spending. There was a dip during the pandemic, but it didn't go down as much as we would have expected. But yeah, we think US digital ad spending growth is going to be kind of stuck around 10% each of the next few years. And as I mentioned, it's going to be just under 8% this year.
I'll just say that I was here when we were eMarketer before Insider Intelligence in the 2008 market crash and recession. And that was a scary time.
Yeah.
We're very happy that advertising rebounded. And I'm assuming that the same thing is going to happen eventually with this current downturn. But
yeah,
it's not great for sure.
Digital in particular, so digital ad spending growth may be at this kind of new lower than usual normal in terms of growth, but its share of the ad pie is still growing. So digital will account for 75% of the ad pie today and cross 80% in 3 years' time. So it's still doing a lot better than the rest of the ad market. Let's move to our final question of the round. Twitter's new CEO was just announced. Elon Musk recently said that former head of advertising at NBC Universal, Linda Yaccarino, would become the new Twitter. I know some of you are hoping that that was going to be the question, but no easy points here, people. The former head of advertising at NBC Universal, Linda Yaccarino, would become the new Twitter boss in July. Elon Musk would remain on as obviously owner, executive chairman and CTO as well. The hope here is that Ms. Yaccarino's background in advertising could help Twitter, which has seen its ad sales drop sharply since Mr. Musk's takeover. Folks, this year we expect 17.5% of Americans to use Twitter. In what year will that share fall below 15%? Share of Americans using Twitter, what year will that share fall below 15%? Blake says 2026. Ross says 2025.
My computer is so slow.
That's okay. You're good.
I'm going to go.
And Debbie says 2024. Ross is right. With 2025, it's going to go to 13.7%. Today, this is staggering. So today, 33% of Americans read a print newspaper, 25% of people in the country use Pinterest, but 16% of people use Twitter. And Rahul Chadha, one of our colleagues, was noting that it doesn't have the share of users that would suggest that it is as big of a platform as maybe some of the headlines, some of the coverage suggest. Debbie, what do you make of this new Twitter CEO appointment?
Well, it was a very interesting development for sure, starting with when Elon Musk tweeted before Linda had even told her bosses that she was leaving. He didn't say her name, but he got the press going. And she's got a lot of work ahead of her to turn around the advertiser industry's impression of Twitter. They've already were leaving Twitter before Elon Musk came, and then that sped up after Musk started, you know, making lots of changes that didn't appeal to a lot of advertisers. There were brand safety concerns, and she's got the challenge of just really figuring out how to manage Elon. My colleague Jasmine Enberg has done some amazing research and thinking about Twitter, and basically she thinks that it's going to possibly be able to turn around under Linda, but she's definitely got some challenges ahead of her.
Yeah, cautiously optimistic. One thing they've got to do, which I've spoken to Jasmine about, is stem the bleeding of the user declines. We're forecasting that they're going to lose users in the US and worldwide over the next couple of years. Ad revenue, we made a significant cut to our ad spending for Twitter as well. As I mentioned, there are a lot of other things people are doing in America more so than using Twitter. One of them is next year, more Americans will log into Reddit than will use Twitter. So she's got to work it out for her. All right, let's check the scores after round one. I would check the scores, but Stuart, who runs the team, is not doing his job even slightly. There is, the sheet is empty. Did you start a new sheet, Stuart? What the hell is going on? There is nothing here.
So Marcus, go to the May tab because this is the May game.
Oh, he's added tabs, folks. Stuart got bored in the background. He's been adding tabs.
Sounds like Stuart's been exceeding in his job.
You've really got above and beyond. Don't add points for Blake, please. Take those away.
Is there a bell?
Stuart's really gone above and beyond with your scorekeeping. Okay, the tab. Yeah, I see it now. Thank you. That's my mistake. So Blake and Ross have two apiece after round one. Debbie just behind with 1 point, but still all to play for, folks. We move to our second round. Spoil for multiple choice. This is the multiple choice round, obviously, where we dig a little deeper into one of the topics from round one. And this month, we'll focus this round on Twitter-related trivia. 1 point for a correct answer. 3 questions in this round. We'll move a little faster for this one. Question one. Today, we expect Twitter to make $1.68 billion from advertising. $1.68 billion from advertising in the US. By 2025, will Twitter make more than $1.68 billion, less or the same amount? Will Twitter make more, less or the same amount from advertising by 2025? Debbie says less, Ross says less, and Blake says less. The answer is less, $1.46 billion. So a point each, please, Stuart, for each of the contestants. It's going to be 13% less than they will make this year. And this year's number's down 30% from 2022. Debbie, do you see, it's going to take a lot to maybe change that, like in the next couple of updates to the forecast. But we weren't expecting Twitter to be going down before Mr. Musk took over, correct?
No, this is definitely a reflection of Musk being involved and advertisers being much less interested in advertising on Twitter. I will say this forecast was completed before the news of the new CEO, Linda Yaccarino, joining. So we obviously will be watching very closely what she does in the next couple of months. And so when we do our next revision, things could change. But for now, yes, you're exactly right. We're estimating about a 30% decline in revenue this year for Twitter in the US.
Yeah, so 30% decline this year in Twitter's revenue. Significant downgrade from what we previously had. Let's move to our second question of the round. This year, 17.5% of the US population will use Twitter. 17.5%. But which generation will see the largest percentage point fall? So we're talking percentage point fall in terms of percentage of population. So if it was 50% of the population and it went down to 45%, that'd be a 5-point drop. So which generation will see the largest percentage point fall for percentage population using Twitter? Gen Z, Millennial, Gen X, or Boomers? Ross says Gen Z, Debbie says Gen X, and Blake says Millennials.
The answer is millennials. So point to Blake, 4.6 percentage points from 25% of the population to nearly 20% of the population using Twitter for millennials. Gen X will fall just over 4 points to nearly 13%. So the picture by 2025, 24% of Gen Zs will use Twitter, 20% of millennials, 13% of Gen Xers, and 6%, just 6% of the older boomer folks using Twitter. Let's move to our third question. As noted in a recent article by our social media principal analyst, Jasmine Emberg, who Debbie aforementioned, spending by Twitter's top 10 advertisers, such as Amazon, IBM, and Coca-Cola, plummeted by what percentage? The time frame is from September, October to February, March of this year. So spending by Twitter's top 10 advertisers between that time period, September, October to February, March of this year, fell by how much according to Sensor Tower? 70%, 80%, or 90%? How much did spending fall by Twitter's top 10 advertisers during that time frame? Debbie says 70%, Ross says 70 as well, and Blake says 70 as well. The staggering reality is apparently 90% according to Sensor Tower. Spending fell from over $70 million for those top 10 folks to closer to 7. Yeah, you would have thought 70 would have been bad enough, but no, apparently not. Debbie, Elon Musk was cited as saying that he thinks advertisers are actually kind of coming back to the platform. Maybe not all the ones that left, but they are starting to give Twitter a second look. What's your take of where advertisers are at this point when it comes to advertising on Twitter? Are they that close to kind of flocking back to the platform?
Well, I would say, and this is based on my conversations and reading of Jasmine's research, they are cautiously optimistic. And so it's mostly at this point based on the reputation of Linda Yaccarino when she was at NBC Universal. She was a very strong leader for that company and helped NBC Universal, you know, continue to make, you know, revenue, and Ross would know this better than I would, but, you know, as linear television has kind of lost its dominance, she made a good case for NBC over the years. And so the thinking is that perhaps with Twitter being in sort of an underdog position as well, that she might be able to work similar magic on Twitter. So cautiously optimistic is the term.
And she's managing, I think, slightly fewer people as well than she was at NBC Universal because Twitter cut its staff back. They're close to, I think, less than 2,000 now. She was managing about 2,000 folks there. So,
I would imagine she's probably working with a lot fewer people, which may or may not be a good thing, right? I mean, you know, you need salespeople to go out and sell the product, but she's got her work cut out for her. But I do think some advertisers, I think, are going to be willing to give Twitter another look with Linda in charge.
Right. She's working with a different type of person as well, a lot of developers. So maybe she's going to focus more on those sales folks, but it is definitely a different crowd in terms of what those folks are doing at the company. All right, let's check the scores after two rounds. What do we have? Well, Blake has jumped out in front with 4 points. Ross just behind with 3. Debbie just behind that with 2 points. So
yikes.
Blake, Ross, Debbie. But Debbie, we're into final round now. It's called Closest Wins. And there are entirely too many points going around for this round. So similar to, I think, was it Susie who was in last place coming into the final round? She managed to pull out second place. So lots of points to give out in this round. So all to play for. It's time for Closest Wins. This is the round where the closest guess wins the most points. 3 questions. Closest guess for each gets 3 points. Second closest gets 2. Furthest gets 1. So, question 1. Google reinventing search. We're circling back to the topics we had in the first round. Starting your search is what we're talking about. What share of Americans will start their search on YouTube when shopping online? What share of Americans will start their search on YouTube when shopping online? This is according to a March 2023 Jungle Scout study. So what do we have? Blake says 15, Ross says 20, and Debbie says 14. So Ross had 20 that is closest. Blake is in second place with 15. Debbie, 14%. Just behind that, 25%, believe it or not, of people will start their shopping search on YouTube. That's good enough for fourth place of all the places people could start their shopping search. Amazon, 56% of people start there. Search engines, 42%. Walmart.com, 31%. And then YouTube, 25%, just behind that. So Ross gets the most points, 3 points. Blake gets 2. Debbie gets 1. Folks, what do you think of that? People starting their shopping searches on YouTube. 25% of people.
I mean, when I buy baby products that are way harder to put together than they should be, I watch YouTube videos to see how long is this going to take me and am I too stupid to complete this? So I get the appeal because there's a lot of reviews and assembly videos on there for anything you want to buy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think that, you know, people look to content creators and experts to get a really valued opinion. YouTube is actually a good place to really like cut through the noise and get opinions from people who are actually experts in the field.
Mm-hmm. I feel like those search engines are just so much easier. Like with YouTube, I mean, I've tried searching for things before to learn about something and you just have to wade through a lot of videos. You're not sure if the video is actually going to be what you want it to be. You know, obviously Google and YouTube are the same company, but I just feel like, you know, the Google interface is just so much cleaner and easier to navigate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder how much of it is just force of habit. People spending time on those platforms and just living in those platforms and so therefore more likely to go to those platforms without actually thinking through what's going to be the better shopping experience. Because the share of folks starting their shopping search on Amazon and search engines has fallen since the last time they did the study, I think back in fall of last year. The share starting on Walmart.com, YouTube, Instagram and TikTok all grew. More people spending time on those platforms when they're starting their shopping. Question two. About Amazon and ad share. So by 2025, Google will have a 25% slice of the digital ad pie in the US. 25% by 2025. Meta's slice will be 18%. But what share of the US digital ad pie will Amazon have by 2025? What share of the US digital ad pie will Amazon have in third place behind Google with 25% and Meta with 18. The suspense. So Debbie says 14, Ross says 13, and Blake says 14 as well. Oh, so two people with the same number. That's not happened before. But the right answer is 15. So Debbie and Blake tied with 14. Ross said 13. So Debbie and Blake both get 3 points each. In joint first, Ross will get... Well, let's go to Stuart, who is doing the scores for us. Stuart, does he get second place or does he have to get relegated to third and just the point?
Oh, wow. We have to look into the rule book for this.
Check the bylaws.
I think he gets a second place.
Second place. Very generous. Very generous. Very generous.
That is okay, very generous.
Yeah.
MLB wildcard standings would have not given me that much generosity.
So 2 points for Ross in second place. Final question, folks. And it has to do with ad spending, but total media growth for the final question. Let's check the scores before we go to the final question. Blake has 9, Ross has 8, and Debbie has 6. So Debbie, you can still steal second place with a big answer here. Let's see how they do, folks. So total media growth is what we're talking about. We mentioned earlier that we expect digital ad spending in the US to grow about 8% this year. How much will total US ad spending grow in 2023? How much will total US ad spending grow in 2023? And I'm looking for traditional plus digital to the decimal, if you wouldn't mind. Traditional. Wow. Oh, that's right, Debbie. Yeah. Don't mess about here on the big quiz of the month. Traditional plus digital to the decimal growth this year for ad spending. Blake says 6.5. Debbie says 4.1. Ross says 4.3. The correct answer is lower than all of that. It's 3.8. So Debbie was closest with 4.1. Then it is Ross with 4.3. And then it is Blake with a terribly optimistic 6.5%. Yeah, it's interesting. All flavors of traditional media are shrinking
except digital and out of home. But digital and out of home aren't growing enough to get growth above the 4% mark. So Debbie gets 3 points, Ross with 2, and Blake with 1. So, as I mentioned, under 4% growth for total media ad spending in the US this year. However, we expect growth to more than double next year for ad spending. 4% this year, 3.8%. Over 8% next year. But that's driven by a ton of events which have kind of crept up on me, at least. Paris Olympics 2024. There's a US election. The Men's Euro 2024 football tournament. And just an improving economic climate as well. So we're expecting growth to go up a lot next year for total ad spending. All right, folks. At the end of the game, we checked the scores and Debbie with 9 points in third place. But it's a tie. It's a tie between Blake and Ross with 10 points each. Oh, what does that mean? Well,
wow, I'm glad Stu gave me that favorable ranking there.
Guy didn't compliment Stu once.
Blake, take up the lead.
Wait a second. I thought you got second place after, and then there was a tie for first. So wouldn't I get second place and not third?
No, because you can't have a tie for the whole, for the overall game.
Yeah. According to the made up
bylaws. Oh, I want to see the rule book on that one.
According to the made up rule book, yeah. So we've got to find a winner. We need to find someone for first and someone for second. So we move, of course, to the entirely too random tiebreak question. Here we go.
Do I
Blake
get to
against
play?
Ross. You can, Debbie, but it won't technically
count. But it doesn't count.
But you can, participate if you want. Much the same as Stu and Victoria, but there won't be any points awarded, unfortunately. Okay, here we go. Blake and Ross, and also Debbie and Victoria and Stu.
If Debbie gets it right, it's like she won the NIT.
Maybe we should go all or nothing. All or nothing. No, I'm kidding.
Like
it's not all or nothing.
I'm just going to go on mute stressful. Here and let you guys battle it out. I'm done.
All right, here we go. Send it in via Slack as quick as you can. Yeah, 5 seconds. What percentage of all national park land, I told you it was random. What percentage of all the national park land, if you took up all the national parks, there are 63 in the US, took them all, and looking at the land mass, share of land, what percentage of all national park land is just in Alaska? What percentage of all of the national park land is just in Alaska, in the US? Blake says 25%. Ross says 40%. And the correct answer is a staggering 70% of all of the national park land in the US is in Alaska. I think Alaska has like 8 of the top 10 in the country. And every time I look at a map, I'm stunned at just how big Alaska is. It doesn't make sense to you. Look at it from above. But it's 70%, which means Ross gets the win for the game. He had 40%, Blake had 25. So Ross gets the tiebreak. He is the winner. He gets the gold. 3 super duper points for him. Blake gets the silver with 2 and Debbie with the bronze with 1 super duper point. Congratulations,
so much for
folks.
All my preparation.
No, thank you.
Yes. I mean,
so close.
What can you do? I've never been to Alaska and I don't know. I don't really, you know, spend much time reading up on national park statistics.
Come on, Blake.
I mean, I was still like 30 percentage points off. So I got closer, but not that close.
So is like all of Alaska National Park, basically?
Yeah, pretty
yeah.
much. Yeah.
Okay.
It's huge. So we've got the overall scores here. Ross, you won. Yeah, so Ross with 3, Blake with 2. Oh, bloody hell. Okay, so we move, of course, to have a look at the leaderboard after today's game. So Ross had the gold with 3 points. Blake had 2, given the silver, and Debbie had 1 for the bronze. But after 2 months, we're all tied up. Because Ross came in first, but Paul on his team came in last game, so they have a total of 4 points. Blake got 2 points this game, and Susie got 2 last time, so they have a total of 4. And Debbie had 1 this round, and Yuri had 3 the last time, so they also have 4. So all the teams are knotted up heading into June, folks. Man, this is
exciting.
It's
better than Succession. I haven't seen it, but apparently it's good. That's what we've got time for this episode. Thank you so much to my guests. Thank you, in turn. Thank you to Debbie.
Well, thank you, I think.
Thank you to Blake.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you to Ross.
Thanks for making me a champion, Marcus.
Yeah, always. You can thank Stuart, who threw the game in your favor. Thank you to Victoria, who edits the show, James, who copy edits it, and Stuart, who runs the team and does the scores on the side. Thanks to everyone listening in to the Behind the Numbers Daily, a special edition, an eMarketer podcast made possible by InMobi. You can tune in tomorrow to listen to the Reimagining Retail show, where Sarah Lebo is going to be speaking with analyst Sky Cannabis and chap you just heard from, Blake Droesch, all about retail memberships. We'll see you next month for the next quiz.